Psalm 23, and we will bow in a brief word of prayer before we read God's word. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the words of the Apostle Paul, whereby we are told that thou art the God of all comfort. And we ask thee now that thou wouldst be pleased to continue to pour out thy comfort and even pour out thy grace upon the Craig and Hamilton family. We thank thee, Father, for help that has been known by them in recent days. And we pray, Father, in the coming days they will continue to know thy love and thy gracious strength. Father, we ask thee that as we come to thy precious word now, that thou wouldst be pleased to let it live as it is spoken. Be pleased, Lord, to bless thy word then as it is preached. Father, I need thy help. Bring to my mind all thou wouldst have me to say. And may everything said and done be done for thy glory, done for thy honour. And Lord, may thy word not return to thee void, but accomplish the purpose to which thou sent it. Purify thy people, encourage them, build them up in their most holy faith. And I pray, Father, that you will save the lost. Save those who are at the minute, Lord, without a shepherd. They're on those fields wild and bare. Oh, Father, may Christ find them even today and draw them to himself. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 23, and I'll commence reading at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, David said. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sometimes your perspective on things can change over time. You take the perspective that some, not all, thankfully, but some children can have regarding their parents. At 4 years of age, a child may say, you know, my parents can do anything. Come to 8 years of age, the parents may turn around and say, well, you know what, my parents, well, they can do a lot. Come to 12 years of age, some children may say of their parents, well, my parents actually don't really know everything. Come to 17 years of age, they might say, well, actually, my parents know very little, and they're very old-fashioned. However, coming into adulthood at the age of 25, their attitude may change a little. They may say, well, actually, my parents maybe do know a little. Come to 35 years of age, they may say, before I make any decision, I think I'll just get my parents' opinion. Come to 45 years of age, you know, I wonder what would my parents have done. And then come to 75 years of age. I wish I could just talk with my parents about it all. As I said, sometimes perspective can change over time. And I trust this morning that whether you be 45 or 75 in actual age, that we'll all have the maturity of those who are older, and we will respect and value the blessings that God has given us. But speaking about perspective, coming into Psalm 23 and verse 5, my perspective of this verse has changed over time. Whenever I was a child, and perhaps you're the same, and even in my early years of adulthood, I thought that Psalm 23 and verse 5, whenever it spoke about a table, I thought that the scene had changed. In the first verses, God speaking about him who is our shepherd, and God's people are pictured there as sheep out in the field. But now, coming into verse 5, God's people are just given a picture of people. And there they are as children in a palace. They're sitting at a wonderful table with the cups and the plates and the knives and the cutlery and all of it. However, upon studying this psalm, I'm studying Psalm 23 in the verse 5, my perspective has changed because I believe that the context and the scene is still the same. We're not of children in a palace of the king. We are still sheep and we're still out in the fields. You see, the word for table here that's used by David is a term that was often used by the ancients to refer to the top of a mountain. You go today even to South Africa and you will see what is known as Table Mountain. There you have the top of a mountain, and there it is flat, and upon the top of that mountain it is rich, great pasture for the many sheep of South Africa. You go to other countries today, even within Europe, and you go to some of the finest sheep countries of the world, and you will find that even in Europe, the high plateaus of the sheep ranges are referred to as mesas or mesas. And that is a Spanish word for tables. Coming into Psalm 23 and verse 5, we're told about a table prepared for God's people. This is not referring to a wooden table that you and I would, I trust, will have our Sunday lunch on this afternoon. It's referring to the top of a mountain. It's referring to the rich, the greatest pasture that was available for the sheep in the fields. It was the greatest, the richest pasture. And in the yearly life of the sheep, the shepherd there in the winter time would keep his sheep in the fold. He would lead them out in the morning time to the hillside. There they would get the tender grass. He would then in the afternoon, when the sun rose, would take the sheep down into the valleys, down there where the refreshing waters were. But coming into the springtime, the shepherd then would begin to lead his sheep away from the plains, up the valley road, dark valleys, up through them to the top of the mountain. For it's summertime, the richest, the best pasture, the highest ground, as it were, was there on the mountain top. And this morning, as we continue to look at the Lord who is our shepherd, I want to see the provision that he makes for us there at the top of the mountain. And the first thing I want you and I to see is that the Lord prepares a table mount for us. In Psalm 23, in the verse 5, we read the psalmist says to the Lord, "Thou preparest a table before me." Notice with me that the Lord prepares a table of plenty for us, even if that plenty is at the cost of personal sacrifice. As I said, whenever it comes to the springtime and it comes then to summer, the sheep being led up the valleys, they're found at the top of the mountain. But before any of that could ever happen, before the sheep could ever enjoy the richness of the pasture at the top of the mountain, the shepherd, whenever the snow began to melt at the end of winter, before the springtime, before the summer, the shepherd would have to leave the low plains himself. And the shepherd would have to gather salt and gather other minerals, put them upon his back, and there the shepherd would have to make the long, arduous journey through the dark valley himself and go all the way to the mountain top. The shepherd would have to prepare the table mount. He'd have to prepare the ground for the sheep. It would be a lot of personal sacrifice, time, effort, energy. But the shepherd would make it in love for the sheep. And taking the salt, taking the minerals that are in the bag, and spreading it all over the top of the mount. Whenever it comes to summertime, there will be plenty of rich pasture there for the sheep. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has prepared for us a table mount. You and I can enjoy the blessing of God in the valley. You and I can enjoy the blessing of God where we are right here and right now. But as we mentioned briefly last week, the Lord has higher ground for us. The Lord has more pasture to feed us upon. The Lord has richer pasture to feed us upon. The Lord has deeper truths regarding himself to reveal to you and me. The Lord, he wants to lead us on. I'm told regarding a shepherd that one of his happiest days in all the year was whenever he was on this, the mountain top, and there his sheep were feeding upon the rich pasture. It brought so much delight to him. Yes, it cost him a lot, but now he sees that his sheep are enjoying all that he went into the effort to prepare for them. And the Lord Jesus Christ, going through that valley of the shadow of death all alone, going to the cross, he purchased for us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He purchased the work of God, the Holy Spirit, to work in your life and mine. And he purchased it at a great personal cost to himself. But he purchased it so you and I could enjoy the richness of the pastures that he has. That you and I could enjoy the depths of the truths that he has for us. And he will give the grace. He will give the salt, as it were, that enables us to enjoy it. I trust that that brings comfort to you this morning. Sometimes if you and I come down to God's Word, you and I may feel that we do not understand much of it. You and I may feel that we're not benefiting much from God's Word as we read it from day to day. You and I may feel that we're not seeing much of Christ. Well, I encourage you, take the truths of Psalm 23, verse 5, where we're told that the Lord prepares a table for us. He prepares a table mount for us. He prepares the richest pasture for us. and he wants to feed upon it. And he will give us the grace, he will give us the strength that we need to feed upon himself and his word. You ask the Lord for help. You ask the Lord for strength. But while it does bring comfort to you and I this morning, that you and I can be led on with God, you and I can see more of Christ in his word, you and I can benefit more and more of his word, not merely as we read it ourselves, but as we listen to it preached in the Lord's day, it does bring a challenge to us. Because the challenge is this: will you and I make the effort? Will you and I take the time to want to enjoy the richness of the pastures that Christ has for us? You see, Christ, at much personal cost, has purchased this for us. He's prepared the Table Mount for us. But will we take time to actually enjoy it? Will we take time to go through the dark valley? Will we take time to persevere in the times of difficulty and persevere until we get to the mountaintop? Will we take the time? Will we make the effort to enjoy all that Christ has purchased for us? The story is told of a doctor who, being given money for an old lady, went to visit her house. Upon going to the house, he stopped and he knocked at the door. And the old lady didn't come. The car was in the driveway, and he thought, she's bound to be here, so he knocked again. But the lady didn't come to the door. And so he went away. But wanting to make sure the lady got the money, and this doctor himself didn't forget about it, he went back the next day and he knocked on the door. And this time the old lady came to the door. And the lady said, "Oh, I'm glad it's you, doctor." The doctor was invited in, the doctor went in, and the doctor seen that the lady had been crying. And he asked, what's wrong? Why have you been crying? And then he said, "Oh, doctor, yesterday the landlord came to my house looking for the rent, and I haven't got the money to pay the rent." And the doctor asked, "Well, what time did the landlord come?" Whenever he heard the time, it was exactly the same time that the doctor had been knocking the door. It wasn't the landlord at all, it was the doctor who had come to give money, not to take money. And there that lady, she had the blessing right there, but she wouldn't open up the door to receive it. And I wonder, is that the example of you and I this morning? God has blessings for us. He has richness there for us. But you and I do not take the time. You and I do not make the effort. You and I do not put in the energy to enjoy the richness of his pasture. Remember, the Apostle Paul spoke to the Christian Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, he rebuked them because by the time that they should have been feeding upon the meat of God's word, they were only able to enjoy the milk of God's word. Oh, they should have developed, they should have grown. But yet the Apostle Paul had to rebuke them because they weren't feeding upon the richness of the pasture. For many years, I must confess to you this morning, whenever I attended Cumberfree Presbyterian Church, I sat underneath the ministry of the Reverend Thomas Murray. I was blessed week after week as I heard God's precious word. The Reverend Murray had put time and effort into praying and studying God's word, and he received a message from God, and he preached that message. Quite often he would have had 3 points and 3 sub-points underneath it, and sometimes I would have thought, here, I'm getting overfed here. I'm getting 9 points of truth and application. And I was really blessed. Really blessed, greatly fed upon the richness of God's word. But I confess to you this morning, whenever I left that Sunday morning, or I left that Sunday evening service, I hardly ever thought upon God's word again. God had given his servant a message. And while I was blessed there and then, and I enjoyed it there and then, I hardly ever thought about it afterwards. One time a friend came to me and spoke to me and encouraged me to take some notes so that I would be able to remember what was said. And then throughout the week, I'd be able to pray over what was said. I'd be able to take those truths, take those, the richness of God's word, the richness of what I'd seen regarding Christ in the Lord's day, and apply it to my life, meditate, think over it, and that it would be a blessing, not merely on the Lord's day morning for half an hour, 40 minutes, whatever it may be, but that it would be a blessing throughout the week, that I'd be able to feed upon the richness of the pasture and benefit it from it more and more. And I'll be honest with you, from that time, I did begin to take notes. I'm not saying to you this morning you have to take notes, but what I'm asking you this morning, whenever you read God's word throughout the week, whenever you hear it preached, and there is a richness to the message, whenever there's a depth to the message, you may turn around and say, "Oh, it's too much for me to take in. I'm tired, I'm weary." But I want to ask you, are you willing to make the effort to listen? And more than that, then to go home and to think about it, to meditate over it, and to apply it to your life, that you will benefit from the richness. That you'll benefit from the blessings of God's word. That you'll put in the effort to receive all that Christ has purchased for you on that cross. The shepherd, he led his sheep because it was his delight that they would feed upon the richness of the pasture. I wonder this morning, do you and I want, and I speak to myself, will I go over my own messages? Will I, in my own quiet times, take God's word and meditate upon what I see of Christ? Will I cry to him, Lord, show me Christ, open up mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law? Will I enjoy the richness? I wonder this morning, will you? Oh, Christ has prepared a table mount for us, but will we enjoy it? The Lord, he prepares a table of plenty for us at the cost of personal sacrifice to himself. But notice also, secondly, the Lord prepares a table of safety for us as a result of personal surveillance. In Psalm 23, in the verse 5, we're told, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Oh, the table mount, yes, it was a place where there was rich pasture because of the work of the shepherd. But there were many dangers on that table mount. Notice with me, first of all, there were poisonous plants. Like many other parts of the world, in Israel and in Palestine, there are things that are helpful for you, and there are things that are harmful to you. And in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 15, we read of some of those things. We read about the bitterness of wormwood. The word for wormwood in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 15, refers to four species of plants. Each of them are bitter, and they grow in Israel. The most common is a low shrub with grey, jagged leaves. And whenever an animal, particularly a sheep, was to eat it, not merely would they have a bitter aftertaste, but it would be extremely dangerous to them. Philip Keller, an American Christian who is a shepherd, speaks about, even in America, how there are similar plants. He speaks about an inconspicuous flower, which is attractive to the eye, but yet it is deadly to the sheep. And if lambs were to nibble on the leaves of this particular plant, they would be paralyzed. They would stiffen up like a block of wood, and that toxin going through their body, it would poison them, and they would die. And as a result, Philip Keller, he would take his children, and they would go to the mountaintop, they would go to the tabletop, and they would go throughout the pasture, they would see these dangerous, poisonous plants, and they would root them up. And they would spend day after day doing it so that the table mount would be safe for the sheep. And so it is in the Christian life. Jesus Christ is our loving shepherd, as the good shepherd. He not only prepares plenty for us on the table mount, but he also prepares safety. See, Jesus Christ knows what is dangerous for us. Entering into our humanity, being tempted in all points like you and I are, but yet without sin, Jesus Christ knows what is dangerous to us. And so often life, he roots it out before you and I ever get to it. Whenever I was in college and we went in deputation to students, someone would have testified at every service. I remember listening to the testimony of the now Reverend Kyle Graham, who serves the Lord in Australia. And as he testified as a student, he would have said, sometimes you will hear testimonies of those who have went into sin and the Lord has brought them out of drugs and alcohol and of great sin, and we praise and rejoice in the Lord's greatness and goodness. He says, my testimony is not like that. I was saved as a child, and I was kept from so many sins. But I put it to you, Kyle would say, I put it to you that my testimony is greater, because the Lord saw the dangers that were ahead, and in love for me, he took those dangers out of my way. The Lord kept me. The Lord kept me from those dangers early on in life. The Lord Jesus Christ, he teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. Jesus Christ, he wants to remove the dangers from us. And while there are times you and I will stumble, you and I will fall, you and I will come across temptations, yet the reality is only eternity will tell all the times where Christ has answered that prayer, whether you prayed it yourself or someone else has prayed it, someone else who loves you, and Christ has come, he's removed a danger out of your path, and you never got to experience it. Christ is one who comes and he prepares the way before us. He makes it safe. He removes away that which is dangerous, that which would poison us, that which would hurt us. He moves it out of the way. Can I ask you this morning, are you one who cries, Lord, lead me not into temptation? Are you one who cries, Lord, deliver me from the evil? Are you one who cries, Lord, remove the dangerous things? Are you one who's thankful? Do I take time, do you take time to actually thank the Lord that he does prepare us not merely a rich mountaintop of plenty, but a rich mountaintop of safety, that we can enjoy him? Oh yes, There are difficulties. Oh yes, there are trials. Yes, there are temptations. But Christ has the power and the authority to remove them out of our way. Not only were there poisonous plants on the mountaintop, but there were prowling predators. We read in Psalm 23 in the verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Plural. There weren't just plants, there were also predators. And as a shepherd would go at the end of winter to prepare the way for spring and for summer, as a shepherd made the long, arduous journey to the mountaintop, he would not only remove the poisonous plants, he'd not only pour out the salt and the minerals, but he would look for signs of predators. He'd look for signs of cougars. He'd look for signs of wolves. He'd look for signs of wild dogs, of bears, and of lions. He'd look for these things. And if he saw any sign of them, he would go throughout that mountain tabletop and he would hunt them down. He would set praise for them so that whenever it came to the summertime and the sheep arrived upon that pasture, that they would be kept safe. The prowling predators would not be there. The Bible tells that you and I have a prowling predator. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You and I have a prowling predator. But again, I want to encourage you, child of God, because Jesus Christ, he goes before us and he prepares the way. A classic example of that is the Apostle Peter. The Lord Jesus Christ told Peter that before the cock would crow twice, that Peter would deny Christ thrice. The Lord Jesus Christ told Peter that Satan desired to have him and to sieve him as wheat. But Jesus Christ said, "I have prayed for you." Not, "I will pray for you." That would have been great in and of itself. But Christ said, "No, I have already prayed for you. I've already prepared the way so that your faith will not fail, Peter. I prepare the way of safety, that you'll be upheld even against Satan himself." Men and women, how wonderful it is to know that before the attack ever comes, Jesus Christ has prayed for us. And in Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul declares, he says, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." For those who were here last Lord's Day morning, do you remember the small children's lesson? Young people, do you remember the small lesson? You take your thumb, representing us ourselves, we put it in the palm of our hand, and Christ is our hand, holds us in his hand safe. God the Father, in John chapter 10, we're told he also holds in his hand. And there the thumb, you try and wiggle it, and the thumb is nice and safe. "No man," we're told, Christ said in John chapter 10, "no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. No man can pluck you out of my hand. You're safe. You're safe." Why? Because Christ has not merely purchased you on the cross, but Christ prays for you, child of God. Christ prays for you, that your faith will not fail. Oh, he prepares the way of plenty upon that table mount, but he also prepares the way of safety. There were dangerous things such as poisonous plants and prowling predators, but keeping the alliteration, there were sneaky snakes. Sneaky snakes. To be more specific, there were sneaky grass snakes, the most dangerous of which in Palestine was the horned viper, stretching up to 1.5 feet in length. These venomous snakes would lie in small holes out of sight, and the careless sheep could easily forget that the snakes were there. And then all of a sudden the snake would pounce upon the sheep, biting it and laying its venom into it. So what did the shepherd do? What did the shepherd do to prepare the way for safety? Oh yes, the shepherd going to the mountaintop at the end of winter would scatter the salt and the minerals. The shepherd would pick up and root out all the dangerous plants. The shepherd would look for signs of prowling predators, but more than that, the shepherd would scour the pasture for those snakes and eradicate the pasture from them. There are two lessons that we learn from the snakes. The first is this. Because the snakes are sneaky, because the snakes are hidden, there are those who may think that the snakes don't exist. And there are those today with great sadness, and they do not believe that the devil exists. Oh, but they can't see him with their eyes. They say, "Oh, he doesn't exist. I'm fine. I'm not in danger." But remember again the words of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he does walk about. And he does seek to devour." How can you and I stand up against the devil? Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Remember the glove, be strong in the power, not of your might, for you have none, but be strong in the power of his might. And put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How do we stand strong against the devil? We put on the armor of God. Remember all that Christ is to us. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is the truth. Christ is the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Christ is the one who is our shield. Christ is the one who promised to provide us with all that we need. He is those sandals, as it were. Christ is everything to us. You remember who Christ is to you. And then also you walk with Christ. One shepherd comments that it was only the distant sheep. It was only the wander. It was only the roaming sheep that would ever be bitten by the snakes. However, those sheep that stayed close to the shepherd, they didn't get bitten. They didn't get bitten. That's the first lesson you and I learned regarding the sneaky snakes. But there is another lesson. And that is that while the enemy exists, the Lord will not let the enemy stop him blessing his people. Oh, the devil can come in the form of a sneaky snake. The devil can come in the form of a prowling predator. The devil can come even in the form of a poisonous plant, as it were, seeking to hinder us from enjoying the great pasture. But I want to encourage you, nothing can stop us enjoying the richness that Christ has for us. Only we ask him. Nothing can stop it. The devil can't stop it. The world can't stop it. Why? Because the shepherd is there to get rid of him. The shepherd is there to get rid of him. You think of Balaam in the book of Numbers. Balaam was one who wanted to bring a curse upon God's people there in the Old Testament. And he came and he prayed again and again, looking for God to curse his own people. But God would not curse his people. Oh yes, the king of Moab wanted God's people to be cursed. He was paying Balaam large sums of money for God's people to be cursed. But the king of Moab and Balaam himself could not curse God's people. Why? Because God wanted to bless his people. And every curse the Lord turned it into a blessing. Oh, I want to encourage you this morning. As I finish this first point, Christ has prepared a table mount of rich pasture for us. And he wants us to enjoy it. But I ask you this morning, as I ask myself, will you and I take time to enjoy it? Will you and I take time to eat the rich pastures that Christ has for us in his word? Will you and I want to learn more of him? To grow, to develop, not merely to be content with the milk, but to go into the meat of God's word and to grow. Christ not only has prepared a table mount of rich pasture for us, but he's also prepared it at a great personal cost to himself. The sheep could not understand how much work and effort the shepherd had to go through to carry the big bag of minerals and to cast them out upon the mountain top and to take time to root out the plants and to look for signs of predators and to put out that which will catch the predators. The sheep couldn't understand all the effort, all the cost, all the sacrifice the shepherd went through. And the reality is, child of God, that you and I cannot understand the cost that Christ paid for you and I to enjoy things. Enjoy him. I encourage you to take time, even briefly, to think upon the one who went through that valley of the shadow of death all by himself, to prepare the way for us. Take time this morning to think upon him who endured Gethsemane, a mental suffering so great that he declared that it was even unto death. As Hebrews tells, if God the Father did not step in and give Christ strength, even as Christ thought upon the cup and the wrath before him, it would have killed him. Such was the agony. Let's think upon him who then went through that agony, who took the agony of flogging in our place. The one who was mocked and hated by all around, the crowd, the governor, the leaders. He was forsaken even by his own disciples. Let us think of him who cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, as he was forsaken by his father, whom he had loved from all eternity. Let us think about him who then upon that cross cried out, it's finished. It's finished. And there, while you and I deserve to receive a cup of wrath, instead Christ, having drunk it and drunk every last dark drop of it, he now gives you and I a cup of blessing. Blessing that's flowing over. He says, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Remember, no one is able to stop us from enjoying the Table Mountain, not Satan and not the world. As a congregation, I want to encourage you this morning. You and I, as a congregation, as well as individuals, we can enjoy the richness of the mountaintop. Whenever it comes to the Lord's Day service, you and I can cry, God bless us on the Lord's Day. Lord, bless us. We look at thy word, bless us with the rich pastures. Bless us. Whenever we come to the prayer meeting and we come to the Bible study, we can pray, Lord, bless us with rich pastures. Whenever it comes to the Sunday school, we can pray, Lord, bless the children with rich pastures. Whenever it comes to the new term of youth fellowship, whenever it comes to the nursing home, whenever it comes to the various aspects of the work here, we can pray, Lord, bless those who hear the word, bless them with rich pastures. Show them Christ. Show them Christ in his beauty. Show them Christ in his love. Let us cry to the Lord for such rich pastures. Let us consider Christ. Let us walk closely to him. But this morning I want just to briefly, as I finish, to not merely to look at the table, but to look at the oil. You see, the Lord not merely prepares a table mountain for us, but he also provides oil for us. You look with me at Psalm 23, verse 5. The Lord says, the psalmist said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." In the east, the ancient shepherd would always have carried on his belt a bottle of oil. And on specific occasions, he would take it out and would pour it over the sheep's head. Now notice with me, first of all, the purpose of this oil. There was various purposes to it. First of all, it was a preserving oil because it preserved from aggravation and distraction. Whenever the sheep got to the top of the mountain, yes, it was summertime. Yes, the sun was shining. But it was not just summertime. It was not just sun time. It was also fly time. I don't know about you, but I hear it whenever I go on holidays and there's flies all around. It's annoying, isn't it? It's aggravating. It's distracting. And so it was for the sheep. Summertime was fly time. And those flies, whenever they would come, they would attack the sheep, and they could turn the golden summer months into months of torture. You see, the flies would land upon the head of the sheep, and they would attempt to deposit their eggs on the sheep's nose. If successful, the eggs would then hatch in a few days, and they would form small worm-like larvae. The larvae then would in turn work their way into the nasal passage of the sheep, going into the head of the sheep, and they would cause intense irritation and severe inflammation. In order to try and get some relief from this, the sheep would take their head and they would bang their head off trees, off rocks, off posts. In extreme cases, the sheep being in such a frenzy, it might even kill itself just to get rid of the aggravation. Because of all of this, when a flock of sheep know that flies are around, they will be frantic. And instead of dwelling upon the pasture that is provided for them by the shepherd, they will be distracted. And they could not sit down and enjoy the pasture. And so what did the shepherd do? The shepherd did something very simple. He got the oil out of his bottle, and he would have went sheep after sheep, and he would have got the oil and poured it over the head. Why? Because the fly would not come and rest upon the oil. It was a preserving oil. It preserved from aggravation, and it preserved from distraction. Flies in Scripture speak of that which is annoying. You think about Ecclesiastes, whereby we're told about the fly in the ointment. It destroys that which is good and precious. And child of God, you think about occasions whenever you want to come down to read God's word, you want to come and enjoy the preaching of God's word, and as you do so, something comes into your head. You think about someone who's been annoying you. They've been aggravating you. They've been distracting you. Maybe you think about a certain sickness that you have. Maybe you think about a past failure that keeps coming back to haunt you. Something comes and it annoys you, it aggravates you, and it distracts you from enjoying the pastures. You know, the Lord, he gives us his Holy Spirit to help us. He gives us his Holy Spirit to help us. You see, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, we read that the Holy Spirit is given to help us in our infirmities. We're told in John 15, 26, the Holy Spirit is there to testify and show us Christ. We're told in John 14, 26, that the Holy Spirit will bring the words of Christ even to our remembrance. We're told in Isaiah 61, verse 3, that this particular oil of shepherd is the oil of joy. Maybe that oil, it helps us to think again upon Christ. It will remove the aggravation. That will remove the distraction. I encourage you, cry to the Lord for help. Is there something aggravating you? Is there something distracting you? You ask the Lord for help. You ask the Lord for his Spirit to preserve your mind, to preserve your focus, to preserve your thoughts, that you may enjoy Christ and not be distracted by those flies around you. It was not merely a preserving oil from aggravation and distraction, but it was also preserving oil from pollution. The summertime was not just fly time, it was also scab time. Scab, I'm told, is an irritating and highly contagious disease common among sheep the world over. It's caused by a microscopic parasite that multiplies particularly in warm weather. And the scab will spread from sheep to sheep as sheep come into contact one with the other. And I'm told that sheep will often rub their heads in an affectionate and friendly manner, and as they do so, the scab will be spread from sheep to sheep. In the Old Testament, we're told that sacrificial lambs were to be without blemish. And I am informed that what was uppermost in the writer's mind was that the sheep should be free from scab. Whenever we read that the sheep was to be without blemish, it was to be without pollution, it was to be without a spot in it. And so, child of God, the scab is a picture of that which is wicked, the picture of sin, a picture of pollution, a picture of contamination. But again, what was the antidote? The antidote was the oil to be poured over the scab. In the Christian life, there are many things that will come into our minds to pollute us. And that's why we're told in Psalm 1 verse 1, "Blessed or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in his law doth he meditate day and night." Social media is a big thing, and social media can be a very helpful thing. But yet if you and I were to spend all our days thinking upon the world's perspective, thinking upon this perspective and the thoughts and the ideas and of the ungodly, well, that will mold us, that will shape us. And so what you and I do, we must be careful about what we intake into our minds, be careful with the amount of it as well as the content of it. But in all things, we must listen to the words of Philippians 4 verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Whenever you consume media, whether it be social media or any other type of information throughout the day, you seek to put your mind upon Christ, upon what is true, what is honest, what is just, what is lovely, what is pure, what is praiseworthy. Because the scab can come in our hearts and minds, and it can pollute us. It can harm us. I wonder, will you and I be the sheep this morning that will let the Lord pour his oil upon us? Yes, to prevent us and to preserve us from aggravation and distraction, but also to preserve us from pollution. That we'll have pure minds, clean minds, minds focused on him. Will you and I be the sheep that just happily dander and dilly about all around the field and never come to the shepherd looking for the oil? We ask the Lord for help. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, we're told that our Heavenly Father, if we know how to give good things unto our children, how much more shall the Father in heaven give good things to them that ask? Let me just finish this morning by speaking about that this oil was not merely a preserving oil, but it was a pacifying oil. Summertime was not just a time for grazing, it was a time for mating. And quite often the males, whenever it came to the time of mating, they would fight with each other, wanting to earn the favor of the female sheep. And to earn favor, they would ram into each other, the males, they would bang their heads, they would hurt themselves. And so the shepherd had a very simple solution. Again, he took the oil and he put the oil. So whenever the sheep would come and they would hit, they would glide off each other. They wouldn't be able to hurt each other. And you see, the oil brings unity. The oil brings peace. Whenever you think about the apostles in the gospel records, they were those who often asked themselves, you know, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? And so often we want popularity, so often we want attention, so often we want to put other people down that we'll look big and great ourselves. But we need the Holy Spirit to come and to change us. That we'll not want to put others down, but we will love others. We'll not want to fight with others, but we'll want to work with others for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. And the only way that will happen is the same way it happened with the apostles. They fought with each other, they argued with each other, they debated with each other in the gospel records, who's the greatest? But whenever it came to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit upon Pentecost, they no longer fought, they worked together in unity for the advancement and the preaching of the gospel. It's the only thing that will change us. Do you want this morning the Holy Spirit to take away your desire for popularity? Do you want this morning the Lord to take away your love of slandering others and putting them down so you can look better? Do you want the Holy Spirit to help you work with that brother or that sister in Christ for the advancement of Christ's kingdom, leaving your own kingdom in the dust? Well, then ask for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there. He is that oil provided by the shepherd to preserve us and to give us peace. This oil was not given out begrudgingly. It was not given out in small doses, because the psalmist said, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." That's a wonderful phrase. My cup runneth over. Can you imagine? Imagine going to someone for a drink, and you take a cup with you, and you take whether maybe a 200 milliliter cup, a 500 milliliter cup, maybe you take a whole jug. I want great refreshment. And you take a jug that's 3 liters in size. Whatever you take to Christ, it will be running over. He will give you more than you expect. He can do exceeding abundantly above more than you can ever ask or think. You come to Christ for spirit. You come to the Christ to give you grace, to give you strength. He will give you more than you could ever imagine. because your cup will run over. Christ is a liberal, generous Savior. I'm told in John chapter 2, whenever Christ turned the water into wine for the wedding at the Cana in Galilee, he provided not just enough for one wedding, but for 10. He is a generous, loving, liberal Savior. He does not just give merely peace, but peace that passes all understanding. He's not merely give joy, but joy unspeakable and full of glory. You come to Christ, ask Him for strength this morning. You ask Him for help, and He will give you it abundantly. But notice the position. Where did the sheep receive the oil? It was at the shepherd's feet. It was at the shepherd's feet. And if you and I want to receive the grace and strength of God, you and I want to see the richness of Christ, we must spend time at His feet. We must spend time at His feet. Not running off, not wandering away, but spending time at Christ's feet. Taking time in His Word to behold Him and asking Him for grace and help. I finished this morning. Christ, He as a good shepherd, will lead His sheep to the top, to the tabletop, to the mountaintop, where the richest pasture is there. A great personal cost to Himself. Will you and I take time to feed upon the richness of Him? He wants to give us His Holy Spirit to preserve us from pollution, contamination, aggravation, distraction. To give us peace with ourselves. Will He ask Him? Will we ask Him for it? What will we do with Christ this morning? May the Lord make us to be all that He wants us to be. We'll bow in a word of prayer for